Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20. If you're using a church Bible, it's on page 1156. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Easter to you. Let me start by looking back a number of years, way back to 1991. In 1991, I went to the States to work for a year at Duke University in North Carolina. And the day after I arrived, I saw on the campus of the university this notice advertising a series of lectures on Paul's letter to the Romans. And I thought, well, that sounds like a good thing. I'll go to these. They were in the Faculty of Theology every week on a Tuesday evening. So I thought, well, I'll go along. That'll be great. But it wasn't great. The professor of theology who gave the lectures kept on insisting that when the New Testament says eternal life, that just meant some sort of heightened spiritual awareness in the here and now. Eternity is in our hearts. Jesus is risen in our hearts. And I fear I might have made a bit of a nuisance of myself arguing with them in the question times. No one else seemed to be too bothered about it. Now, I'm sure you've met people who say something along these lines. They like Jesus. Jesus was obviously a good man, and if people would just follow Jesus' teaching, well, this world would be a better place, wouldn't it? But when you then talk to them about Jesus' resurrection, that's a different story. And they say, well, I just can't believe that. I can't go there. I've never seen anyone rise from the dead. I don't understand how anyone could rise from the dead. I don't believe this man Jesus rose from the dead, and I don't believe anyone will rise from the dead. And I think we just have to stop and think, well, look how arrogant that is. My human experience and my human understanding are the gold standard against which I measure everything else, and that includes the Bible. And if I can't get my head round something, then it's out. That's what we call liberalism, theological liberalism, subjecting the scriptures to my cleverness, sitting in judgment on them. Perhaps it helps to ask this question this morning. When it comes to matters of Christian belief, where does the final authority lie? If you're a traditional Roman Catholic, well, the authority is the Pope. If the Pope says something is right, something different from the Bible, then the Pope is right and the Bible is wrong. For some charismatic Christians, at the extreme of charismatic Christianity, the authority lies in my dreams and visions. I had a picture, and that carries the same weight as the scriptures. For liberals, human reason is king. If I can't figure out how Jesus walked on the water, then there must have been stepping stones, obviously. But as evangelicals, we are here taking the Bible as our final authority. And when I can't fully understand something in the Bible, or I don't maybe like something the Bible says, nevertheless, I submit to it as God's word. Now, if you're a theological liberal, then believing in the resurrection is very difficult indeed. It's inexplicable. And you really have to end up saying something like the Corinthians said here in verse 12. There is no resurrection of the dead. And when you say there is no resurrection of the dead, the consequences for Christianity, it's absolutely catastrophic. Last Sunday morning, if you were here, we looked at the first 11 verses of this 15th chapter of Corinthians. And Paul was at pains to set out the evidence for Jesus' resurrection, that the eyewitnesses of Jesus' bodily, personal, literal resurrection. Paul wants us to be 100% sure Jesus rose from the dead. He was crucified, dead, and buried, and the third day he rose from the grave. That's the Apostles' Creed. That's what people have been saying for almost 2,000 years. That's what we believe about Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. So what about us? What about us as Jesus' followers, as Christians, as those who belong to Jesus? What's going to happen to us after death? Well, that's what Paul is going on to talk about, starting at verse 12, where we read this morning. Most people in the Roman Empire in the first century, when this was written, most people would have believed in some sort of life after death, but not a bodily resurrection. The Jews were peculiar in that. The Jews were the ones who believed that eventually people would be physically, literally raised from the dead. But there were already people going around in the first century saying, well, the resurrection has already happened. Paul wrote to Timothy about them. Here's what he said. He said, they say that the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some. They're just the same as that professor at Duke University. He wasn't saying anything new. People have been banging on about this for 20 centuries. When the New Testament speaks about resurrection, it means nothing more than something that happens in my heart. Well, what does Paul say? Paul says Jesus rose from the dead bodily, Jesus rose from the dead physically, and he says we shall rise too. Jesus rose from the dead and we shall rise too. And when the Corinthians start saying in verse 12, there is no resurrection of the dead, here's how Paul responds. Paul says, okay, listen, for the sake of argument, let's assume just for a moment that that's true, that the dead aren't going to rise. What would that mean? What would it matter? What would the consequences be? And look what Paul says, verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, meaning resurrection of men and women from the dead, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. In other words, if there's no such thing as resurrection from the dead, if that's something God simply doesn't do, then Jesus couldn't have been raised. Paul goes straight to the heart of the matter. Verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Now, do you see how Paul links our resurrection and Jesus' resurrection together? Being a Christian is all about being united with Christ, so that his death, paying the penalty for sin, is my death. And his resurrection is my resurrection, if I'm a Christian. So let's be absolutely clear what Paul is saying. Here it is, verse 12. If Jesus was raised from the dead, that means we will be too. Verse 13, if we aren't going to be raised from the dead, then Jesus can't have been raised. You can't pick the two apart. That's what Paul is saying. You can't pick apart what happened to Jesus and what happens to us. That's the wonderful truth of our unity as Christians with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from Jesus and what happens to Jesus. As Christians, we're in Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, then Jesus' death for sin was your death, the penalties paid, the slates wiped clean. Jesus' resurrection life is your resurrection life, in spirit, here and now, and one day bodily resurrection life. And if that's not you this morning, if you're here this morning and you're just looking into Christianity, well, we're delighted you're here. Come and say hello afterwards. Come at coffee time. Speak to me or Howard. Look at the bookstall on the way out. There's some books on the left as you go out there. In particular, there's one called If You Could Ask God One Question. And maybe the question is, well, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And there's a book called The Case for Christ, which is a brilliant book, looking at the evidence that the resurrection really happened. They're on the table out there, and if you'll read them, just take them. There's no cost. We would love you to find out more about it. This could be the Easter when God gives you eternal life. Anyway, Paul is telling us here, if you rule out our future bodily resurrection, then that means ruling out Jesus' resurrection. And if you rule out Jesus' resurrection, then the whole Christian faith is going to crash and burn. So verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Now think back with me for a moment to Paul's day in the first century. For centuries, the Jews had been waiting for their Messiah, the one who was going to be their king, the one who was going to deliver them from oppression and establish them as God's people in the world. And there'd been a whole list of men who'd claimed to be the Messiah. And each of them had gathered a following of people around them to challenge the Roman overlords. And what happened to them? Well, you can read it in the history books. They were defeated, they were arrested, and they were crucified. That's what the Romans did to insurgents. And that was the end of them. End of story. Game over. And what makes Jesus different from these guys, these pretenders, is this. Like them, Jesus was arrested. Like them, Jesus was crucified. But that wasn't the end of the story. That wasn't the end of him. Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus defeated death. And it's common to say that the purpose of Jesus' resurrection was to prove who he was, to prove that he really was the Son of God, to prove that death couldn't hold him. And of course, all of that is true. Of course it is. It's wonderful. But the resurrection, the significance of the resurrection, is much greater than that. At the heart of Christianity is the unity of the Christian with Jesus. So if Jesus rose to eternal life, so will you if you're a Christian. And if Jesus didn't rise to eternal life, then there's no hope for any of us beyond our 70 or 80 years that we have in this world. None of the other world religions claims anyone rose from the dead. The Muslims don't claim Muhammad rose from the dead. On Buddha Day, the Buddhists wear a black armband to celebrate or to remember Buddha's death. No one's saying he rose. The Mormons aren't saying Joseph Smith rose from the dead, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to them. Their beliefs don't depend on these individuals, but just on the teaching, the philosophy that they brought. But Christianity is different. Christianity stands and or falls on the claims of Jesus' literal, bodily, historical death and his literal, bodily, historical resurrection. So verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Jesus didn't rise, he himself was wrong when he told the disciples he was going to. And if Jesus didn't rise, then Paul and the other apostles have been running around misleading people by telling them that he did So verse 15, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So important is the link between God's promise to raise us from the dead in the future and God's action in raising Jesus from the dead in the past that Paul says it twice more in quick succession. Look at it. Verse 15. God did not raise him, that is Jesus, if in fact the dead are not raised, men and women. And then verse 16. If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. So it couldn't be clearer, could it, what Paul is saying? Jesus rose from the dead, and we shall rise too. Otherwise, Christianity is pointless. It's pointless. Last Wednesday, I went to see Risen. I don't know how many of you have seen Risen, that new film about the Jesus resurrection. It's based on the last three chapters of John's Gospel. And it has the strap line, the greatest manhunt in history. And what happens is it starts with Jesus on the cross, and then people start saying he's been raised from the dead, and Pilate organizes this huge search for Jesus' body to prove that he didn't rise from the dead. And he even has people going digging up the bodies of people who've been crucified to see if they can identify Jesus' body. And of course, they can't do it. If someone could have proved, if someone could have produced Jesus' body and proved he didn't rise from the dead, then sin and death haven't been defeated after all, and Christianity is a delusion. Verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Futile. The word really means fictional. And that's what people say about Christianity, isn't it? It's just an invention. Life after death, just a crutch for these poor, inadequate, sad people who can't cope with reality. Man up and face the facts. Everything ends in a wooden box with brass handles and a small engraved nameplate. And if Jesus didn't rise, they're right. Jesus didn't rise. We're here and we've given our lives to a dead man. And Christians from past generations have thrown their lives away believing a lie. That's what Paul says in verse 18. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Unbelievers often laugh at Christians, don't they? You're deceiving yourself, they say. It's a dream. It's a delusion. It's all about pie in the sky when you die. The boxer Muhammad Ali once said, "I don't want no pie in the sky when I die. I want my castle in the ground while I'm around." Well, verse 18, Paul says, those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost if there's no resurrection. Fallen asleep. It's a pretty good term for death, fallen asleep, isn't it? We go to sleep each night and we expect to wake up again, don't we? You went to bed yesterday evening, despite the fact the clocks went forward and you missed an hour. You went to bed yesterday evening expecting to wake up this morning. The word cemetery for the dead literally means sleeping place. And it's the same with death, as sleep, that's what Paul is saying. Expect to wake up again. Why? Because Jesus woke up again. If not, Christianity's a waste of space. Dump it, get on with your life. I read about a Buddhist who converted to Christianity, and someone asked him, "Why have you changed religion? You were a Buddhist, now you're a Christian. Why?" And he said, "It's like this. If you were walking along a road and you came to a fork and two men were standing there, or two men were there, and one was dead and one was alive, which man's directions would you follow?" That makes sense, doesn't it? So let me be blunt. If there's no resurrection, living as a Christian is just plain stupid. It's stupid. Verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Because let's be honest, being a Christian very rarely brings any advantages in this world, does it? It's not really a sensible lifestyle choice. Maybe it was a few centuries ago in Britain. It certainly isn't now, is it? It doesn't bring advantage. Ask the first Christians who were thrown to the lions in the arena. Ask the Christian in North Korea who spends his life in prison because of his faith. Ask the woman who became a Christian and her husband walked out on her because of it. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But, verse 20, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. That's what we celebrate every Sunday in church, isn't it? But particularly, especially today, especially on Easter Sunday. Perhaps we just get over-familiar with the wonder of it all. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. If we were in a slightly different culture, you would all be shouting, Hallelujah, when I said that. But there we are. Laszlo Tokes was a pastor in Romania during the Soviet regime. And it was largely his attempted arrest by the Securitate, the secret police, that triggered the revolution against communism in Romania. And in January 1990, the beginning of the following year, he preached in the square in the center of Bucharest. And afterwards, a giant crowd that was gathered there broke into a chant, and they chanted, God is alive, God is alive, God is alive. I saw it on television. Well, Jesus is alive. He is alive. He rose from the dead, and because of that, we shall rise too if we're Christians. The poet John Donne lived 500 years ago. And his language sounds a little bit clunky to us, but what he wrote just hits the nail on the head. Listen as we finish. He wrote this: Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death. Nor yet canst thou kill me. One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we thank you that we're not here Sunday by Sunday propagating some philosophy, some way of living, some lifestyle. Thank you that we are looking at what you have done in history. And Father, thank you particularly this Easter Sunday morning that we are remembering and celebrating how the Lord Jesus Christ, after he was crucified on the third day, rose from the dead to eternal life, never to die again. And how we thank you that that will be true for us too as Christians, that one day we will rise from our graves, never to die again, to be with your Son forever. Father, thank you for what you've done for us, despite our sin, despite the fact we deserve eternal death. You have given us eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.